But we will continue with the topic that we've been dealing with for a couple weeks now, the fear of man. Next week, I will talk about, before we come to that. Next week, I will talk about how to deal with the fear of man. In fact, if don't miss that, don't miss next week. Amen. Even if you're at work or you're not able to come to church, please listen to it afterwards, okay? Because it is very important. And I'll tell you why it's important from today's study. Because the fear of man can cause us, and we've seen that already in the past two studies, to make a lot of mistakes. Some of them are generational, okay? Some of them are generational. And so how do we avoid falling into that trap, into the threat of the fear of man? Okay, good. Next week I'll deal with that, but today we will continue with the effects of the fear of man. But let's get on our confession. Let's stand and confess. Lord, we thank you that you are bringing people into our lives. Therefore, we will not be afraid. We pray you bring our descendants from the east, and may you gather them from the west. We say to the north, give them up, and to the south, don't keep them back. Oh Lord, bring our sons from afar and our daughters from the ends of the earth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Where are they coming from? Hallelujah. Venezuela. Hallelujah. All over the place. From Ekiti. You know where Ekiti is? Yes, they are coming from there. They are coming. There's a village in somewhere in Romania. They are coming from there. Hallelujah. They are coming all over. All over. From Ukraine, they are coming. From Russia, they are coming. You know, the biggest church in Russia is pastored by an American. Yeah, Rick Renner. Hallelujah. See, God can do anything. I'm telling you. Glory be to God. And a while ago, the biggest church there was pastored by in Ukraine was pastored by a Nigerian. Yeah, Sunday. But let's look at you know, I realized that I hadn't given us the definition of the fear of man. So let's look at the definition of the fear of man. The definition of the fear of man. But before then, let's look at a few scriptures. Go back to those scriptures. Proverbs chapter 29, 25. Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. A snare is a trap. A snare is a trap. Okay. It's a trap. A snare is a trap. And when you are caught in that web, when you are caught in that trap, it's very hard to get out of it. The consequences are very grave. But it says the fear of man, that's what it does to you. But then again, it says that anyone that will trust in the Lord shall be what? Safe. Amen. I like the New Living Translation. It says that fearing people is a dangerous trap. Put the New Living Translation there. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means what? Safety. Hallelujah. 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 Then last week we looked at King Saul, who before he was born, God had made a pronouncement that he was going to wipe out the Amalekites, and Saul's purpose was to do that as a king. He was to do that. But he didn't do that, and that caused a lot of troubles. Okay. What's the definition of the fear of man? If you can write this down. The fear of man is the negative influence, intimidation, manipulation, and threats that a human being poses to another person against their convictions. Okay, let me stop right there. Let me go slowly, because I knew some of you say, hey. Okay, the fear of man is the negative influence. Did you get that? The negative influence, intimidation, manipulation, and threats So the fear of man is the negative influence, intimidation, manipulation, and threats that a human being poses to another person. The influence, the negative influence, intimidation, manipulation, and threats that a human being poses to another person against their convictions, truths, and belief. You won't find this definition anywhere. The Holy Spirit gave it to me. Against their convictions, their truths, and beliefs. Okay, so is the fear of man is the negative influence, intimidation, manipulation, and threats that a human being poses to another person, another human being, against their convictions, their truths, and beliefs. Okay. In the case of the Christian, it is usually against the word of God or the instructions the believer, the instruction that the believer has received from God. So in the case of the Christian, it is this threat, this intimidation is usually against the word of God in that Christian's life or the instructions that that Christian has received from God. Did you get that? Or should I repeat myself? Okay. So in the case of the Christian, it is usually against the word of God or the instructions that that believer has received from God. I'm moving on. In some cases, this negative influence, threat, or intimidation can also come from a group of individuals or an organized body. So this negative influence, threats, intimidation, and manipulation can come from a group of people or an organized body. Okay. So it can come from sometimes the thought of this negative influence can come from a group of people or from a group of individuals or an organized body. Okay. Sometimes the thought of a person or group or even their very presence. Sometimes the thought of that person or a group or even the very presence or even their very presence can cause the believer to abandon the word of God. Yes. It happens all the time. Even the very thought. That's the fear of man. So sometimes the thought of that person or group or even their very presence can cause the believer to abandon the word of God, beliefs, and the instructions God has given them. Okay. This can happen to individuals. This can even happen to churches. Okay. This threat, this manipulation, this intimidation from man or a group of people. So if you look at, for example, the church, if you look at Revelation, the church in Thyatira, can you let's go to Revelation chapter 2. You know, the Holy Spirit sat, I was asking him, what is this thing? And he helped me to put these things down. And so I give my credit to the Holy Spirit. I've done sometimes you write something, you give credit to somebody. Me, my credit is to the Holy Spirit. So in Revelation chapter 2, Is it chapter 2? Yes, chapter 2. Where is Thyatira? I want to show you something over there. Is it 2 or 3? It's 2. 2 what? 18. Okay. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira writes, these things says this, says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, faith, and your patience. As for your works, the last one are even more than the first. It means that God is saying, God is commending them. God is commending the church. Verse 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. So this was an individual who the spirit of Jezebel had come to inhabit. And now she was intimidating the church of Thyatira. He says, nevertheless, I have a few things against because you allow. So the whole church, the church, was intimidated by this woman, the threat of this woman. So the fear of man does not only pertain to an individual. It can happen to a whole church. It can happen to a whole family. The woman who calls herself a prophet to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed. So that's what this woman did. One person. Almost brought the whole church down. To God, God had to intervene. And Bible says, I gave her time to repent from her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into that great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Okay. So, but I just wanted to bring this up as an example. Okay. And we know where Jezebel is coming from. 1 Kings. On several occasions, the Jews pose a threat to people in their neighborhoods, synagogues, and city. The Jews, in the New Testament church, in the New Testament time, there were a group of Jews who always posed a threat, okay, to the people in their neighborhoods, even in their synagogues. So that if you violated the rules of the synagogue, they'll cast you out. John chapter 7, verse 13. We're going to read a few scriptures. We're going to do some reading, and then we'll look at another story today. Okay. Probably a couple stories, and then we'll be done for the day. But we have to go fast. So if I'm reading fast, just follow after me. So John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, something interesting is happening here. Okay. So I'm going to read from verse 1. After this, and Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because, this is Jesus, okay, because the Jews sought to kill him. The intimidation, the threats, the manipulations of man. They wanted to kill Jesus. Why? What bad did Jesus do? Nothing. But they wanted to kill him. Okay, now the Jews, the feast of the Jews. So let me just jump. I might come back to this, but let me just jump from here. Okay, verse 13. Let me read from verse 10. When his brothers had gone up, then he went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast. So even when he went to Jerusalem to the feast, they wanted to kill him again. And there were much complaining amongst the people. Verse 12. There was much complaining amongst the people concerning him. Some said, he is good. Others said, no. On the contrary, he deceives the people. So they were torn. Verse 13. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. So that the people who knew that he was doing good could not testify of Jesus because of the intimidation of the Jews, because of the threats of the Jews. Have you seen the fear of man in play? That I've seen a good thing. I've seen Jesus raising people from the dead. I've seen Jesus healing the blind man. I believe in him, but I cannot openly testify because I'm afraid. And this is from the intimidation of the Jews. Some Jews, not all of them. John chapter 12. So if you think that the fear of man is just limited to an individual person, no. Sometimes a whole organized body can be a threat to even a nation. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's even certain families. Because a certain spirit dominates that family and they become a threat to the neighborhoods and their communities. They control the communities. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. So Jesus was teaching, okay? Jesus was teaching. Now look at verse 42. So some of them believed in him. Nevertheless, even amongst the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Lest, this is interesting, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. I told you the process of being put out of the synagogue. It was in stages. So it means that the synagogue, going to that religious place, was so important to them. Pleasing the Pharisees was so much important to them that they couldn't confess Jesus, although they believed in Jesus. Because they were afraid that this group of people, the Pharisees, would put them out of the synagogue. Listen. Go to verse 43. Why? They loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Wow. Compromise. The fear of man leading to compromise and leading to somebody not receiving that salvation. So you know the result of this. That because they did not believe, where would they go to? Yeah, it's as simple as that. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. But they believed, but they didn't confess. Are you with me? They couldn't identify with Jesus. The word believe here doesn't mean that they accepted the thing. No. They knew that what the thing Jesus was preaching was right. And they knew that the thing was authentic, but they just couldn't put themselves into the thing. Amen. That's why some people cannot even come to this church. Because when they come here, please, everybody come. Because this is your way to heaven. You see, because some of the things that they will hear from this pulpit, it is contrary to their lifestyle. But this pulpit is here so that men can stand here and preach the word of God and preach the truth so that people will be set free. So that people will go to heaven. In fact, if we stand here and preach and nobody goes to heaven, there's a problem. There's a big problem. If we stand here to preach and people don't make it to heaven, there's an issue here. Then it's a useless pulpit. It wasn't, then the pulpit did not serve the purpose for which it was established. Yes. God forbid. And so we will preach the word of God. We will speak the truth. Sometimes the truth is very hard. Sometimes the truth is hard. Alex, when your wife looks in your face and tells you, you did this, you did it, this is your behavior. It's hard to accept. It's hard. My wife has done that several times to me. It's hard to accept it. But it's the truth. Are you with me? The truth is hard to accept. It's hard. But we have to accept it so that we'll be saved. So that life will be better for us. Better for our families. Better for our children. Better for generations after us. But it says They loved what? The praises of men. Yeah. So the man said, oh, Bishop is a nice man. Bishop is a fine man. Oh, Bishop is a... No, I don't need that. The Bishop is a God-fearing man. We see that in him. That's what I need. That's what I need. Not that Bishop is a kind man. Will kindness take me to heaven? No. No, he won't take me to heaven. Bishop is a God-fearing man. He loves the Lord. That's what I want to be. That should be my testimony. And that should be your testimony. That when people see you and when people are talking about you, it has to be about the fact that you love God and you believe in God and you serve God with all your heart and with all your strength. That should be people's testimony about you. Hallelujah. So, have you seen how Saul, last week we looked at Saul. Saul was just like these people. He loved the praises of men to the disobedience of God. And so he even went and built a monument for himself. That meant, that's King Saul. But God stripped the title from him. Okay, let's look at a couple stories. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. The negative influence, the intimidation, the manipulation, the threat that a human being poses. How can a human being, you see, it's all very demonic. If you look at this thing, it's so demonic that the enemy enters into a certain environment or a certain group of people, a certain human being, and then they become a threat. And then they tell you, if you don't do this, we'll deny you of that. And because you need that thing so bad that you compromise your faith. Don't compromise your faith. If you have to go through the fire, go. He'll be waiting for you in the fire. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I said, if you have to go through the fire, just go. Because he'll be waiting for you there. Because he cannot deny you. He says, if you put your trust, I will not forsake you. Say, never will I leave or forsake you. So if I stand for him, if I take a stand for him, then, if they drive me into that fire, he'll be waiting for me in the fire. He'll be the fourth man in the fire. Amen. Or if they put me in the den, the lion's den, he will shut them out of the lions. Hallelujah. Are we in Genesis chapter 12? Something interesting happened. I'm going to talk about Abraham today. I'm going to talk about Abraham. Hopefully, I'll tell the story quickly. So God calls Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, gives him all these promises. I'll make you great. I'll bless you. I'll make you a great name. And you'll be a blessing. I'll bless you. And we said that God's promises are real. Okay. So Abraham moves from his idol worship. God calls him into the land of Canaan, received his promise. But something happened when he got to Canaan. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Something happened. Bible says there was a famine in the land. There was famine in the land. You know, sometimes we don't control famine. You know that? Sometimes we don't. Of course, if we mess up the environment, then the land will be bad. The atmosphere changes. And then, but there are certain times when you don't control famine. Famine just hits you. Are you with me? Not that you did anything wrong, but famine hit. You saw the pandemic. What did I do wrong for the pandemic to affect me? We didn't do anything wrong. Amen. But the pandemic came. So sometimes famine will come. Okay. Not because you did something wrong. Famine will hit your family. Famine will hit your personal life. Situations will happen that you have no control and you did not cause it. Okay, but it is your reaction to that situation that will either reinforce your commitment to God or deny God. Let me put it this way. Okay. So, there was famine in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there. For the famine was severe in the land. God called him and says, go to Canaan, and I will bless you in Canaan. What was he doing in Egypt? That was my first question I asked. That if God says I should go to a particular place, calls me from where I am, and I should go to a particular place, and then something happens in that environment, why am I running away from that place that God called me into? And sometimes that's what we do. God was watching Abraham. He was watching him. He went to Egypt. I guess, of course, when Abraham entered the land, it was nothing. It was all foreigners, people that he couldn't relate to. And so famine has come. Okay, where is Abraham going to seek shelter from? So we could give all these plausible excuses. But remember that God says, go to Canaan, and I will bless you there. So he goes to Egypt because the famine was what? Severe. Sometimes the fire can get hot, too. I said the fire can get hot sometimes. The pressure can mount. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. You are a very pretty woman. Beautiful woman. Verse 12. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife. And they will kill me. The fear of man. But they will let you live. So, was it a good thing to marry a beautiful woman? Or a bad thing to marry a beautiful woman? Hallelujah. Marry who God says you should marry. Amen. Every woman is beautiful. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. Okay. Let's keep reading. So it was when Abraham came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was beautiful. Sarah must have been a very beautiful one because she was around 75 years at this time. Yes. Even in her old days, Pharaoh wanted the 75-year-old woman. Pharaoh is a bad guy, man. Hey, Pharaoh. So it was when Abraham came to Egypt that Egypt saw the woman, that she was beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abraham well for her sake. So because of Sarah, Abraham was treated well. He got some favors. Let's keep reading. He had sheep. He was given sheep. He was given oxen. Male donkeys. Mark that. Male and female servants. Mark that. He was given what? Male and female servants. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai and Abraham's wife. Because Abraham wanted to mess up what God was doing, the destiny of this promised thing. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is it you have done to me? Why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you not tell me she was your wife? So you see a difference between she's my sister and she's my wife. If Abraham has said she was my wife or she is my wife, he wouldn't have gotten the male oxen. No sheep, no female, no way. In fact, there was a threat that he would have been killed. But was he really going to be killed? Remember, God had made a promise. Are you with me? God had made a promise. So God will watch for Abraham to be killed. And what would we say about God? God, you couldn't fulfill your promise. You watch Abraham be killed. You watch the famine kill Abraham in Canaan. Oh, God, you made the promise. And Abraham stayed in Canaan. And the famine killed him. That would be God's testimony. Okay. He's not a man. Everything God has said about you, listen, believe it. Hold on tight to it. Okay. The devil will try everything to try to dissuade you from what God has said about your life. If you move from that place, some things might happen and it will cause you harm. Some of the consequences are bad. You might end up receiving the promise, but then you have to live with certain consequences that you don't want to live with. Amen. So don't tell me that King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, so me too, I'll go and commit adultery and God will forgive me. Do you know what King David suffered? He said, the sword will never depart from your house. Can you handle that? When you are dead and gone, your children are still fighting. He said, the sword will never depart from your house. And he never did. Because God's word is so true. So don't use somebody's stupidity to justify your actions. Why you have to move away from the promises of God over your life. Hallelujah. These are great lessons that we learn. So we don't follow blindly. Are you with me? We don't follow blindly. Sometimes I hear certain people preaching certain things from the pulpit. I say, you have all this congregation. You are saying this to them. You are leading them to hell. We have to even be careful what we say from the pulpit. Because somebody is watching us. Even what we wear in the pulpit, we have to be careful. I'm telling you. Even what we wear, the way I speak, the way I live, somebody's watching. I can lead somebody to hell just by my dressing. Because if Bishop is dressing that way, why not me too? Then by the time you realize their skirt is here and everything is showing. You can put a skirt here. Okay, blouse. How about that? Whether it was a skirt or blouse, it was something. It was something. I'm telling you. So we don't pattern our lives according to somebody's something. Okay. So let's read on. He said, why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her. Go your way. Abraham was literally escorted out of Egypt. He was sacked from Egypt. You see, we will say he was sacked with money. But there was a consequence. He paid a price. I'll show you in a minute. For the fear of man. Now, therefore, so Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Let me go to my notes. I wrote some few things down. So in verse 12, there was the imminent threat. It was there. Okay. Pharaoh and his people, because you cannot enter into Egypt without you being noticed. Are you with me? Because Abraham had a whole big entourage with his sheep and all the camels and all that. So there's no way he could enter into Egypt without being noticed. And he says, they will notice me. And if they notice me, they will kill me. And they will have you. But that was all his imagination. That was not God's thought. Okay. Then in verse 12, he says, you tell them, you know, Abraham had agreed with Sarah that wherever they go, Sarah should say, we are sisters, sister and brother. Really, Sarah was Abraham's half-sister. If you read Genesis chapter 20, verse 12, Abraham Sarah was Abraham's father's daughter, but not his mother's daughter. So that was his half-sister. Amen. But when you marry, it changes that equation. When you marry, you become my wife. Are you with me? Oh, I can't say, you know, we are going into this environment, so remove your wedding ring. I know some people that are married that they don't wear their wedding band. But wearing a wedding band, but the day they were married, they did it. The day they stood before God, they put the ring on each other's finger. And said, will you marry me? Yes, with this I do ring. But today, ah, God, help me. Help me today. yes, I do ring today. They said it. A week after, the ring vanished. And so when he went in that environment, they don't know whether he's married or not. Are you with me? Why am I going that way? Hey, God help this man, this preacher. He said, I got married and I'll keep my name. I'll keep my name. We are still married, but I'll keep my name because my father is very popular. You know, so I'll keep my name so that you know, wherever I go, you know, I don't even want to mention names. I can't do that. You know, but assuming, okay, Priscilla is a billionaire. Amen. And she gives, and Olivia gets married. Olivia says, I'm going to keep my name because I can identify with. When I mention that name, everybody will know that I'm from Priscilla. But you are married. There was a woman. Today, I actually went and looked at her. She was a popular singer. Some of you might know who I'm talking about. She got married. Wonderful, good-hearted woman. Oh, I still love that woman. Because after her divorce, she went back to her husband and apologized to her husband. And says, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So I have to come here and apologize to the whole church and to apologize to my husband. Because I failed some of you. That's somebody who loves God. And knew that she made a mistake and she came back and corrected the mistake. But after her divorce, she still kept her husband's name because it was her trade name for singing. Then she got married again. But if I marry you and you are still carrying that man's name, I can't marry you. Because what identifies me with you? So we go somewhere and say, I'm John Pencil and she's Priscilla something. Lavoy. Okay, are we married? But how come you're Priscilla Lavoy and I'm John Pencil? What identifies me with you? So when they went to the pulpit to be married again, what names were they mentioning? You see how twisted this whole thing is. The church has borrowed a lot of things from the world. We have to be careful. So me, when I marry, I'll keep my name because it's a trade name. What trade name? Who made you? Motives are so important. I said motives are so important. We got to be careful where we are borrowing certain things from. One of my friends, he never wears his wedding ring, but the man is married. I'll ask you, where is your wedding ring? Because he's a handsome man too. So you can know the amount of women. Because, yes, you go, the man is not married. Okay, let's begin to chase him. And sometimes we enjoy that. We enjoy that. Abraham told his wife, everywhere that I go, tell the people you are my sister. That's what it told. Read the scripture. It's right there. Sure enough, after that, it brought him some favor. Okay? All right. Then God, in his own mercy, let me tell you something. You, as a human being, you can never mess up what God wants to do. Even if God has to punish you to do what he has to do, he will punish you. Okay. Let's go to Genesis chapter 20. Let's read this quickly, and then I'll tell you the consequences of Abraham's action, okay? But let's read. So Abraham did not learn his lesson because he had told Sarah everywhere we go. And then also the thing worked for him because he came out of Egypt with great possession, with female and male servants, with oxen and silver and all that. Genesis chapter 20. Let's go back quickly. Genesis chapter 20. From 1 to 7 quickly, and then we read from 11 to 17. Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in a place called Gerar. Abraham said to his wife, she is what? Again. Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah because you are your sister. Sarah suffered, though. Every man is taking Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. God did not see Sarah as Abraham's sister. You see how God is addressing Sarah? He's a man's wife. The phrase a man means a noble man's wife. That's actually what it means. A noble, an important person's wife. A prophet's wife. My prophet's wife. You've got to take my prophet's wife. That's what God was saying to Abimelech. But Abimelech had not come near her and said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she's my sister? And she herself is my brother. And say, in the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this thing. But Abimelech, didn't you know that she was an old woman? That was somebody's, that the man was walking with. Well, she didn't look old, that's the thing. Sarah didn't look old. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against who? He didn't say sin against Abraham. Because Sarah, God had an agenda for Sarah's life. Sarah was supposed to fulfill a certain destiny because of Genesis chapter 12. Isaac had to be born through only one person, through Sarah. Because God has spoken. And God couldn't change his words. And so he said, you almost sinned against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he's a prophet. He will pray for you, and you shall live. Yeah. This thing is serious. And he says, if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, and all who are yours, they will die. Hey, this thing is serious. Let's read from 11 to 17. And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place. So because Abimelech went and questioned Abraham, why did you do what you did? You told me she was your sister. You got me in trouble. Okay. But you too should have restrained yourself. And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place. So you see what's happening here. Abraham is looking at the environment and he's making certain bad decisions. The fear of man. He says, I thought that there's no fear of God in this place and they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed, she's truly my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And Abraham was speaking the truth. So it was half-sister. But once you marry, it's no longer half-sister. It's wife. Are you with me? Those of you who are married, don't go back home and to your mother and your father. He said, and a man shall leave his mother and father, and they will cling together, and the two shall be one. Amen. So when trouble comes, don't run to your mother. Amen. Because you're still a wife. She's okay. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said, "This." Then I said to her, "This is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place where we go, say of me, he's my brother." Have you seen it? He said, wherever we go, just say, I'm your brother. Then Abimelech took sheep. So look at, Abimelech took sheep, oxen, male and female servants, and gave them to Abraham. So Abraham is benefiting from this thing. Why not? So let's keep moving. Okay. And he restored Sarah, his wife, and say, see, my land is before you. Dwell wherever it places. Then, verse 16, then to Sarah he said, behold, I've given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money. A lot of wealth. 1,000 pieces of what? Silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was what? Rebuked. Verse 17, so Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servant. Then they bore children. For the Lord had done what? Closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah. Because of the fear of man, the whole nation's womb were closed. Sarah is powerful. Let me stop here and say something about you, everybody here. Have you seen how God is acting because of the purpose of Sarah's life? Are you seeing a picture? God does the same thing for you. Because God has a specific purpose for you to fulfill for his kingdom, he will do crazy things. I call it crazy things, so that that purpose will be fulfilled. Okay? So although you have committed, we've all committed sins and done crazy things, of course, we will suffer the consequence. But God will still do what he has to do in our lives. The danger is that can we limit the damage, the collateral damages? Is it a good statement to make? Which means that may we not make mistakes. Yes, David will give, Bathsheba will give birth to Solomon. But David will still suffer the consequence of killing somebody and taking his wife. Because Bathsheba is the last person that should bore Solomon. Are you with me? Bathsheba should even be killed. Her womb should be closed forever. But Bathsheba bears Solomon. It's a very strange God. Those are the ways of God. And so God's purpose for your life will be fulfilled. If he has to close people's womb for you to fulfill that purpose, he will do that. If he has to relocate people from that workplaces for you to fulfill that purpose, he will do that. When I studied this thing, I said, man, God, only you can be God. No human being can be God. Only you. And so my life is not over. Although I've made mistakes in the past, my life is not over. Your life is not over. Are you with me? Don't let the devil come and put all kinds of things. I said, limit the collateral damages. So live right with God. Okay, when you have to say she's my wife, say she's my wife. Don't say she's my sister. All right. So Abraham is benefiting from this thing. Let's look at, do you remember that when we read chapter 12, okay, the Egyptians gave Abraham female and male slaves and servants and all that. Go to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Let's look at the consequences of Abraham's action. Okay. The fear of man. The consequences of Abraham's action. He benefited. He got some wealth. As for God, he will do anything to fulfill his purpose. The purpose is not even your purpose. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. So after 10 years that God gave the promise to Abraham and Sarai, there was still no child. Sarai comes, okay, Genesis chapter 12. Female slaves, female servants are given. Oxen, sheep, money, camels, everything given to Abraham in Egypt. He comes back to the land of Canaan, repeats the same mistake. But in Genesis chapter 6, in 10 years, you know, Sarah is waiting and there's no pregnancy. So Sarah says, in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, where is it? Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. And she had what? Who did she have? Who did she have? Where did the Egyptian maidservant come from? You get the story now? Are you getting it now? If... What a problem. This Egyptian maidservant came from Pharaoh. She lived with Sarah. She became comfortable. She became one of the big... You see, I was reading a little bit about this kind of marriages, where these surrogate marriages. They just won't... If I'm Sarah, I just won't pick up anybody to go sleep with my husband to make a baby for me, to become a surrogate man. No. It is the prized and top maid servants, ones that are trusted, ones that have worked and lived with us for years. You know, I won't just give somebody who just came in 1 month to become a servant. No. To become a surrogate mother. No. No. And so this person that the Egyptian Pharaoh gave to Abraham, she had worked her way and lived with them faithfully with Abraham. So Sarah could trust her. But it was the biggest mistake Sarah ever made in her life. So Abraham goes into Hagar, the Egyptian maid that Pharaoh gave them. And we all know the end of the story. Today, Israel and Palestinians are fighting in Gaza. We don't know the story. Okay. Ishmael, the Arabs are the descendants of Ishmael. Then the Israelites are the descendants of Isaac. So Isaac is the promised child. Ishmael was not supposed to have been born. The Arabs won't be happy about that. Okay. That was not God's promise to Abraham. But because Ishmael was born and came from Abraham's loins, God said, because it's coming from you, you are a blessed man. Because this thing is coming from you, I will bless this child also and make him a great nation. That's why the Arabs will never ever be poor. It's because God spoke a word. So we can try to wipe the Arabs out of the earth. It's impossible. And there will forever be war between the Arabs and the Israelis and the Jews because of this thing. The fear of man. Study your Bible. Don't start. I'm telling you. I'm reading it. I'm showing you. Have you seen the consequence of the fear of man? Sometimes when you are dead and gone, this thing continues after you. You can get the money. You can get the gold. You can get the silver. But what is attached to that thing? Simply because you did not stay in the promised land in the time of famine. It's dangerous. Amen. So yeah, we can say God went to Egypt. And Abraham went to Egypt and he came out there with great possession. You're joking. When God says he will bless you, even if they dig a hole and put you in there, did Joseph become prime minister? Didn't they put him in a pit? My God. So Abraham should have stayed in Canaan in the time of famine. That is why later on God warned Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Isaac would have repeated the same mistake if he had gone to Egypt. Even then, Isaac repeated his father's mistake. His was even worse. Because this thing is generational. It transfers. It's generational. Isaac said of his wife, he's my sister. Oh, some of you don't believe. Let me read it. Some of the things we are suffering is because of our parents. So we have to break these things. We have to separate ourselves and let God have mercy on us. I'm telling you, some of our behaviors, crazy behaviors, it's my God. We don't even know why we are doing the things we do. The thing has been set in motion way back. No, if you look at it, why do the Jews and the Arabs hate each other like that? I mean, think about it. We have money. You have money. Why can't we live together? It will never happen. In fact, if it happens, the Bible is not true. God has not spoken. Yeah. I mean, the Arabs are filthy, filthy rich. God gave them oil. I mean, they are rich. Why can't we all live together? If you want, you can create. Some of you have been to Dubai. Me, I haven't. But I've seen pictures. I've seen videos and all that. Listen. The sea. They've built hotels on the sea. So they can decide to build on the sea. But that little land and that little place, they are fighting over who will take possession of that place. Because there's something there. There's a promise there. So some of these things that we are suffering. You see other people. Today I saw little kids in incubators. They said last night 14 of them died. Yeah. And you know it means nothing to God. Because of the wickedness of the heart of man. Because of the wrong decisions of the heart of man. The Bible says God doesn't change. What God has spoken. Do you know that God will not feel sorry for you going to hell? He won't. Sometimes we think God will feel sorry. Oh, God will feel sorry. So he won't take me. He will go to hell. You will go to hell. Because God cannot break his word. God's word is that live right and come and go to heaven. That's God's word. And God says, if you don't live right, you go to hell. God cannot break his word. And so Abraham, don't go to Egypt. Because Isaac, and don't tell people that Sarah is your sister. Let me show you something. We have to finish this thing quickly. Go to Genesis chapter 26. We'll finish in a minute. We have to finish this thing. Let me show you a couple things. No, Genesis chapter 26. Do you know that after Ishmael was born, she started making fun of Isaac? And so after Isaac was born, Ishmael started making fun of Isaac. Yeah. Genesis chapter 21 verse 9. We won't read that for the sake of time. Thursday we'll discuss that. But go to Genesis chapter 26 verse 1 and 6. You see, we can preach the message of faith. Right. But do you know it takes faith to obey God? In fact, it takes the greatest faith to obey God. In a time of famine, it takes the greatest faith to obey God. That's when you begin to see God's blessing over your life. But most of us, in the time of famine, we run to Egypt and we cause a whole mess in our lives. And then we create problems for our children, our children's children. Oh my God. Now that we know better, we won't do it. We will correct our lives. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. There was famine in the land. See, famine came again. This is the time of Isaac. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So this thing is happening. Famine will come. God will test you. Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar, same place. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go to Egypt. God actually spared that guy's life. Don't go. Live in the land of which I tell you. Dwell in this land and I'll be with you and I'll bless you. I'll bless you to you and to the descendants. I'll give this land. And he said, I'll do that because Abraham obeyed me. Let's go to verse 6. So Isaac dwelt in that place. He obeyed. And then the men of the place asked about his wife. And what did he say? You see how the thing transferred? Easy. Because the thing had been set in motion. She's my sister. Because he also married a beautiful woman. For he was afraid. She's my wife. Because he thought, lest the men of the place will kill me. For Rebecca, they'll kill me for Rebecca because she's beautiful to what? To behold. It came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, the king of Philistine, looked through a window and saw Isaac showing endearment to his wife. Isaac was caressing his wife. And he would even do it publicly. privately. So they saw him and said, hey, this man. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she's your wife. She's your wife. So how could you say she's my sister? How could you say she's my sister? Sarah was Abraham's half-sister. But it was just a relative. Rebecca was not his sister at all. So obviously how the lie has now gone to a different level. They were just relatives, but it wasn't sister. It wasn't half-sister, it wasn't quarter-sister, it was nothing. I think they are quarter sisters. I don't know why they came up with half sister. I don't know why that. If your sister is sister, I don't care where you are born from, your sister. Wouldn't it have been better? The term half sister alone even connotes something we don't even want. Right? It's sister. The world is terrible, you know. The world will come up with all kinds of things just to put some people down. You are my half sister. You are my quarter sister. You are my blood brother. Come on. We all have blood flowing through us. Where are we? Let's finish this quickly. Where are we? Okay. We're in 10. Okay, let's read 10. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done? One of the people might have soon lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us. So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Isn't that interesting? Again, what God has said he would do, but be careful with the collateral damages that you do. The collateral damages. Okay? So God will bless you all right. Because God's word has to be fulfilled. The man became prosperous and continued to prosper. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And until he became very what? Prosperous. For he had possessions of flock and possessions. Understand that Abraham left him everything. Okay. All right. Abraham left him everything. So what have we said so far? Let's end here. It's time. But did you see the patterns? You saw the patterns. All because of the fear of men. We fear men more than God. Why should it be that way? Next week, I'll show you why. But I'll show you from scriptures how to deal with the fear of men. Because it's something that confronts every one of us. Every one of us sitting in this room. There'll be situations, there has been, and there will still be situations in our life where we will come face to face with either we're compromising what God has told us, or we are standing and going into the fire. Because the threat is real. I said the threat is real. It's real. The manipulation is real. The intimidation is real. It's real. The world in which we live in, if you're a Christian, this time is even better. In years to come, if you open your mouth to say you're a Christian, you are in trouble. You'll be chastised. You'll be persecuted. It's already happening in some regions of the world. Go to Sudan. Go tell you're a Christian. There's a tendency somebody's going to cut off your head. Let's stand. Yeah. There's a way to overcome this thing. Next week, we'll look at it. I think that's, for me, that's the most important study for how to overcome the fear of man. It only takes the Holy Spirit. It takes a commitment. It takes you loving God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We honor you for your word. It's a warning to us. It's a rebuke to us. It's an admonition to us. It's also a word of instruction to us. Father, we take it all. We take it all for what it is to us. Some of us have made mistakes in the past. You know what? I just want you to take just 2 minutes. Pray for the mistakes, because some of your children, if you don't take care, will suffer because of your actions that you've taken. I don't want my children to suffer because of certain actions I took in the past. Some of the things that we are suffering is because of the actions our parents took. Let's just go in repentance. Let's just ask God to forgive us. I believe every one of us has made some silly mistakes where we thought it was just something. Maybe we gained something out of it and we thought it was okay. But in the sight of God, in the spiritual realm, it wasn't gain at all. Father, forgive us. The sins of our parents, the sins of our fathers, the sins of our mothers, our own sins. Father, forgive us for continuing the sins of our parents. We did not know. But Lord, there is no excuse for us. So we are not coming into your presence to give any excuse, Holy Spirit. We are coming to say, have mercy. All we are doing today is have mercy on us. Oh, Father, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Deliver us from the sins of our fathers. Deliver us from our own sins. Now that we have known the truth, help us to live for you, oh God. Help us to love you with all our hearts. Help us to love you with all our strength. Help us to love you with all our mind, oh God. Now that we've known the truth, today, may this truth bring deliverance to us. May this truth bring everlasting deliverance to us and generations after us. May we stand. May we stand for the truth, irrespective of the threats and the intimidations of man. Help us to live for you, oh God. Help us to live for you. Almighty God, when Isaac obeyed you, When Isaac obeyed you, when he obeyed you and sowed in that land of farming, you proved to us that you could have provided for Abraham that land of farming. May we not run away. Father, Holy Spirit, when we try to run away, bring us back. That's our prayer. When we try to run away from the famine, bring us back. Because in famine is our prosperity. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We need your help, Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. We can't. We've tried. We couldn't. But hold our hands and guide us and give us the strength even to overcome the fear of man, so that your name alone will be glorified in our lives and generations after us. We thank you. This is our humble prayer this morning. Father, this is our plea this morning. This is our plea this morning. Help us. Help every family in Purpose Ministries. Help this church. Help this church. Help this church. Help this church. We pray. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat.